The Speakeasy Podcast Network.
Men of Letters, a supernatural podcast.
This is Dad's single most valuable possession. Everything he knows about every evil thing is in here. He's passed it on to us. I think he wants us to pick up where he left off. You know, saving people, hunting things, the family business.
Storm's coming. You boys, your daddy, you are smack in the middle of it.
House rules, Sammy. Driver picks the music. Shotgun shuts his cake hole.
No chick flick moments.
All right, jerk.
Bitch.
That Constance chick, what a bitch!
Or you think it's shooting Casper in the face, you freak.
Eat me. No, wait. You actually might.
Hope your apple pie is freaking worth it!
Welcome to Season 2 of Men of Letters and Supernatural. Katie and I are back and ready to dive into Season 2 of The Adventures of Sam and Dean with the first two episodes of Season 2. Episode 1, In My Time of Dying, and Episode 2, Everybody or Everyone Loves a Clown. So that coronavirus, that's a thing. We hope
it's a thing.
Yeah,
it's like a little thing, you know.
In all seriousness, we hope that you are keeping safe and using common sense when it comes to your safety and the safety of those around you. With that said, happy spring, everyone. Welcome, jerk. How you doing?
Pretty good, bitch. What's up?
Just dealing with this coronavirus thing, and you know, being homeschooling the kids, and you know, staying kind of like on a shutdown. How about you? How are you?
I'm okay. You know, same thing, same bullshit.
Yeah.
You can't find toilet paper, so you know, everybody's deciding to do like the Philippine people and wipe their hand or their ass with their hand. So that's really awesome. You know, get your spritzer bottle out and your alcohol. Just call it a day.
It's bananas. We were talking off air, and yeah, it's hopefully people start coming to their common sense and start just not you know, going crazy and trying to buy everything in the store all at once, so everyone has a chance to get a few things. But we shall see. But other than that, what have you been up to, Katie? Other than the whole coronavirus thing.
What have I been up to?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have nothing to do. I have no jobs. I have no PTO. I have no volunteering. I have nothing. So, I have a Netflixing, and we got the Disney Plus, and we've got the Hulu, and I've been using my mom's cable, and I've been on my kids about stuff. I am cooking. I went to, you know, I have lots of food stuffs to cook.
Good.
I'm living the housewife life again. Like, stay home mom. It's weird. I haven't done that in a while.
So have you and your husband not killed each other yet?
This is his first like official day.
Oh.
From work.
Ah, so you're still in the honeymoon phase.
I don't know if I would say that, but if you don't hear from me, I'm either dead or in jail. Probably the latter.
Yeah, it's.
How about you? How's things with the lady?
Well, good. The lady's good, and the kids are fine. Everybody's well fed, and everybody's healthy, which is good. Just trying to, you know, kind of like white knuckle this out, because it's just there's only so much room in the house. But
right.
When we're trying not to get on each other's nerves too much. Which, you know, I'll retreat to my man cave whenever I can. But then the kids are right behind me wanting to play, you know, Roblox. So what's that game?
Minecraft.
And I'm like, no, I want my basement to myself to watch Supernatural and to play video games. Leave me alone.
Must be nice, because you know what my man cave is?
What's
it's the bathroom. That's the only door, only room in the house with a door that works real good and no windows. Yeah.
Other than that, I'm still working on, if you listen to that horror show podcast, I'm working on the a Chapter 2 franchise episode, which I'm almost done editing that. I'm a little bit behind because of, well, the whole coronavirus thing, and, you know, I haven't had much time to edit. So that's coming out very shortly, and that's, you know, another clown-themed episode, which kind of goes along with this episode. Everybody loves a clown. So, yes, it should be coming out shortly. By the time this podcast episode drops, I'm hoping that I'll have at least that episode out for THSP for about a week or so. But other than that, you know, just like you said, I'm binge watching a ton of television shows. Actually, I've got a bunch on the download, on the cheap. I got some Blu-ray seasons of Swamp Thing,
ooh,
Titans, and Doom Patrol, all for like $9.
Doom Patrol.
Yeah, so
that's awesome.
So I'm like, I've been watching a lot of DC television shows for next to nothing, and it's been fantastic.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, but yeah, other than that, you know, just, you know, like you said, Disney, Hulu, Netflix, HBO. Yeah, that's what we're kind of like living on. Although I'm missing the sports a lot.
Oh my God, baseball. I was like, where the fuck is baseball? I'm not like a super huge fan of like anything in particular, but you know what? When I'm home and I'm doing my random shit around the house, I love listening to baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's just like, it's crushing me, even though like there were no hockey, you know, finals, or, you know, they weren't talking about the Stanley Cup, and they weren't talking about, you know, there's no more training camp stuff, and there's nothing. It's like, come on, give me something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hell, they even canceled, you know, NASCAR and the XFL for the rest of the season. And like, I just started getting into the XFL. I started following this team called the Houston Roughnecks or something, and they were undefeated, 5-0, and then I was reading the comments on their fan page on Facebook, and they're like, well, since we're undefeated, could you just crown us the champions this year?
Nice, right?
So I don't know if that's gonna get any traction, but it's weird not having any kind of like sports, and thankfully TV, at least broadcast television, is still like they do their episodes, you know, a couple months out. But even like Supernatural got shut down for a while, along with a bunch of other shows too.
Yeah,
that are on a hiatus for production, and for good reason. But it's just bizarre. It's like another couple.
I thought Supernatural shot up in
Vancouver.
Canada, but yeah, over near Seattle.
No, I think that they're in Vancouver, I believe.
Are they? Okay, my mistake.
Yeah, because when a few years ago, when my wife was making frequent trips to Canada, I'm like, ooh, well, is it anywhere near Vancouver? She goes, no, that's like 5 hours away. She's like,
I know, right?
Like, oh, damn it! I thought maybe they could,
feel like
visit.
Everybody in Canada knows everybody else in Canada. You know,
I think that's a common misconception, but yes,
yeah. Like, oh, do you know so and so? No, that's on the other side of the continent.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whatever.
You gotta drive. You gotta drive about 6.5 hours. You know, north.
Yeah, how about it, eh?
And then take a small plane ride.
Yeah, right.
Oh, but yeah. So anyway, I've got nothing else really going on. How about? And you said you're kind of just, you know, doing the housewife thing, just kind of bumming around.
I know. I am not getting in the kitchen and making anybody's sandwich if they talk to me like shit, though. So they'll get a knife to the foot, like in Adventures in Babysitting. You one stitch it up yourself.
Oh my God. Well, with that, let's pause for our first Speakeasy commercial break, and then we'll roll that trailer for the new CW Supernatural episode, In My Time of Dying. We'll be right back after this. Hello, is there anyone out there? Hey, do you like horror movies, television shows, and really messed up stuff, and like to have a laugh or two? Then tune in to us, That Horror Show Podcast, with me, Tim Kasda.
And me, Chris Koenig. We cover everything from cult and hard-to-find flicks to classic and contemporary horror films, and everything in between.
Oh, God!
So be sure to tune in to us every month for a unique and interesting look at the horror movie genre.
Run, Tim! Run! Oh, look! An isolated cabin in the woods! We should be safe there!
Sounds good, Chris. You can find us at the speakeasypodcastnetwork.tumblr.com. And, of course, our official website at www.thathorseshowpodcast.podbean.com and the official Facebook page. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Player FM.
So be sure to check us out and the rest of the great podcasts at the Speakeasy Podcast Network, where talk is cheap, and so are we!
Storm's coming. More demons are walking among us. You are smack in the middle of it.
Tonight on the new CW, their destiny will begin. Supernatural, season premiere tonight at 9, 8 central on the new CW.
Episode 1. In My Time of Dying, directed by Kim Manners, written by Eric Kripke, with an original air date of September 28th, 2006. As the season opens, the Winchesters are taken to a hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, following a car wreck caused by one of the demons, Azazel's henchmen. Though Sam Padalecki and his father, John Jeffrey Dean Morgan, make it out of the crash with minor injuries, a dying Dean, played by Jensen Ackles, is in a coma. He has an out-of-body experience and is approached by a Reaper, played by Lindsay McKinnon, who tries to take his soul. She reveals that if he refuses to move on, he will one day become a vengeful spirit. Meanwhile, Sam tries without success to save his brother. So John contacts Azazel, played by Frederick Lee Han, and offers to make a deal. In exchange for saving Dean's life, he will give up his own life, his immortal soul, and the mystical colt, a gun capable of killing anything. Dean is saved before he can die, but after making peace with his sons, John dies. So, with that, let's dive into In My Time of Dying. So, Katie, thoughts and feelings?
Okay, so, you know, it was like, that was at that cliffhanger at the end of season one, and then, you know, like, breaking on to season two, I thought that it was a good place where they left it. Like, it was like, you know, I love a good, what do you call that?
Sounds like you got a party back there.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
Fucking mild bitches over here, I swear to God. They're probably watching Supernatural or something. Like, you're missing out, dumbass.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Anyways, yeah, this is as quiet as it's going to get.
It's quite all right. That's your family.
Yeah, right? What did you say about pandemic quarantine?
Okay.
All right, well, let's roll back to it.
Okay.
All right. So, anyway, so I thought like the way they left it in season one was pretty good, and to come back as you know breaking that cliffhanger, I liked it. I liked the way they had the guy was like coming out of the. What was it, like a truck or something?
The big rig,
and like stepping up, and you know, they're sitting in the car and they're all like kind of messed up, and you know, just kind of like, you know, Sam is like, you know, this bullet could be for you, or and he's like, no, that one's not for me, or whatever. And then, you know, Sam's like,
he cocks the gun, yeah, he's like,
I know, right? And then, of course, the demon leaves the guy's body, and the guy's all like, oh, I did this, oh, so, you know. But then Dean ends up in the hospital, and then that whole kind of swarm of things happen. So, yeah. I mean, I liked it. I like the way he kind of was tricked into thinking that that Reaper was just a regular old person, and he's like trying to help her, but then he figures it out. So mm-hmm.
Getting back to the opening scene, leaving off the cliffhanger, I love the use of Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater. I thought that was a great use of the music, and Yeah, and then you see, I think it's Tess. She's the Reaper. And it was surreal that, you know, she was like, at one point she says, well, you saw me in my original form and it freaked you out. So I had to, you know, put on this, you know, facade to get you to talk to me. And, I really liked the episode a lot. It certainly was, again, staying with the darker themes. Season one, season two, we've talked about this before, have a very, a certain kind of like, hard tone with the way it's lit and with the lighting they choose, and I really enjoyed that episode a lot. We actually seen Jeffrey Dean Morgan, you know, die yet again in a hospital.
Denny, oh my God, Denny dead
Denny.
I love Dead Denny. I love Grey's him so much.
Grey's Anatomy, yes. And then we see Jim Beaver, I believe, for his second appearance in the series. And where Sam meets Bobby, Bobby comes to collect the car from the junkyard and basically, you know, take the contents of the trunk before anybody can find what's actually in the trunk. And Bobby, and he, you know, Sam's got to give a list to Bobby, and then Bobby starts questioning. He's like, "What's this kind of for?" He's like, "It's not to, you know, ward off a demon. It's to bring a demon." To conjure a demon, basically.
Yeah, because John Winchester was so full of shit when he gave him the list. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, you can tell when somebody's full of shit, but doe-eyed Sammy is just like, okay, Dad, I'll do whatever you say.
Yeah.
Because he still kind of got that whole, like, dopey, you know, younger brother thing going. And, I mean, he doesn't lose that for a while for a long while. I mean, in my opinion, anyways. Like, he you know, still has that for at least another season or two.
Yeah, Sam still got the somewhat short hair before he goes completely like long haired. You know, and he never goes back to the short hair. You know, Dean's always been kind of consistent with his haircuts.
Dean's got the best haircut.
Yeah, it's one of those haircuts that never go out of style.
No. You know what? I'm going to tell you a quick sidebar is that when Andrew was, I think, like 7, maybe, he would come in and watch the show with me. And then one time, he's like, I'm going to get a haircut. And I was like, yeah, you can get a haircut. So he got it cut like Dean. And I have this picture of him. He's like, just call me Dean from now on. Okay. So we did. We called him Dean for, like, I don't know, months.
Oh, that's cool.
But that was funny. Anyways, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Good haircut.
Yeah. And, So they're in the hospital. Dean is fighting for his life. John is, you know, consumed with we think, just trying to kill this demon. But it turns out, you know, he wants to make a deal with the demon to save Dean's life. Dean's in a coma. Dean's also facing off the Reaper. He says something very 80s action hero like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like if it bleeds, I can kill it. He goes, if I can grab it, I can kill it. You know, so yeah. So very very 80s machismo kind of reference there, and I really enjoyed that part. And then we see Tess, who I think she said that. Her backstory was that she went in for an appendectomy.
Yeah, and it went sideways.
Because I hate the people. Yeah, I think it went sideways. and so they're wandering around the hospital and trying to fight off this.
He's trying to fight off this. Reaper, you know, he's in the original form, and she, you know, is like, oh, surprise.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a person, but not a person.
Yeah.
But I like the part, when Sam and John are arguing over, I forget what they're arguing about, and like, they're bitching at each other, and then, you know, Dean's ghostly form is there, and he's pissed at them. He's like, come on, guys! And he knocks the thing of water over.
Yes.
And then the John and Sam look at each other like, what the fuck?
Right. And that's where Sam thinks, well, maybe Dean's not gone.
Yeah.
And then Dean's like, hey, did you see that? I totally Swayzed that mother effer.
I know, right? Mother effer. You mean motherfucker?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Do you have little ears around the corner?
No. I'm just using the same terminology Dean used. He said,
oh, did he say mother effer?
I think he said, just, do you see, I Swayzed that mother, you know?
Oh, okay.
Which I butchered it up a little bit more by saying mother effer.
Yeah. I just want like full press on that.
No, my kids are fully asleep and up in their bit in their bedroom upstairs. Yeah, so it's all good. They've been asleep for about 45 minutes.
That's nice.
But yes, I like that, and I like also where Dean's or Sam brings in the Ouija board. He's like, don't give me any shit, Dean. You know, but let's just try this. Yeah. And of course, without missing a beat, Dean's like, are we in a fucking slumber party?
Yes. I love that part too. I thought that was good, but I mean, you know. It actually, you know, so I was watching this earlier today, and of course the family's milling about, and I'm like, I gotta watch my shit for, you know, for my podcast. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, Ouija boards. Oh, I love the Ouija boards. And I'm thinking, I'm like, don't ever touch one of those things. They're evil as hell. Like, never. But yeah, it's one of my favorite scenes, I think, in the movie when they're doing the whole, you know, trying to figure out what he's hunting and what's going on, and then Sam's all, how are we going to, you know, fight a Reaper? How is this going to work?
And then Dean's like, dude, one question at a time. Like, right. So I'm literally spelling it out for you.
I know, it's like Sam's sitting there, like, twitching, like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. I mean, he's not, but, like, I feel like he's got that teenage girl thing, like, oh my god, what are we going to do now?
he almost shaking his hands, like, manically, like a teenager, like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Like, I can picture you doing it now, like, by your face, like, your hands are like your face, like, oh my god, Becky, what are we doing? Shut up, Karen, we'll figure it out.
But, you know, I also like to make mention over these this episode and in Everyone Loves a Clown, I really like the makeup that's used on Sam and Dean.
Yeah.
The scars, they look natural, they look real.
Yeah, they did a good job.
And I like the way they made it fade. And I just, the only thing is I wish it would have done is made it last like 3 or 4 episodes where you kind of see it like progress. They did it from episode 1 to episode 2, but then by episode 3 and 4, it's like they're perfectly back to normal. I'm like, the scars take a while to go away. But
that's the one thing I did, like, I totally noticed that also, because I was thinking, I'm like, why doesn't Dean have a scar right there on his forehead, like, later on, like, even something like slightly,
yeah, like, askew, you know,
a very soft natural kind of scar. And I'm like, whatever, I guess they didn't think that anybody would be paying attention, but I'm paying attention.
I always pay attention. And the thing is, all those scars he should have up until he was raised back from hell, and where he's like basically been rehymenated. But we're skipping like 4 seasons.
I love that, rehymenated.
Yes,
real nice, Tim.
Yeah, that's actually what Dean says in the episode, and I think I've been rehymenated, Sammy. I've got, you know, all my scars and my finger that's, you know, not crooked anymore because of breaking and not healing correctly. I'm like,
right.
I don't buy that for a minute. You are too good looking.
Yeah. I just like the rehymenated, because before, when we were talking before that we started podcasting, we were talking about lady problems and all that, like going down quote unquote that aisle. So
cracked
me up a little bit.
Yeah.
Tim and I are there. We're there in our relationship. Yes. We can talk about that kind of stuff.
Yes. Super great. Yeah, it's super uncomfortable still.
For him.
Yeah, I don't like talking about that with my wife.
Oh, we're good.
It's good. It's awful.
It's just one. It's on your nose, but not.
If your vagina was on your nose, then yes.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a couple openings in both places, but whatever.
Do you usually give birth through your nose? Never mind.
I don't know what kind of boogers you have going on, but I've seen some whoppers come out of my tits. Like, you have a mucus plug before you give birth that you have to get rid of.
Yes, yes. I'm trying to forget it, but thank you for bringing that screaming back into my memory.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's get this train.
Post-nasal drip? Water broke? What?
Let's get this train back on the track a little bit.
We're having such a good time.
How many drinks have you had?
None. My medication for ADHD is wearing off.
Oh, okay. All right, so I'm sorry. What the hell were you talking about? No, I made mention of the scars.
You're talking about their scars.
Okay.
Okay. From hell, and okay. That's where we were. Okay. Are you okay?
Yeah,
are you gonna
fine.
Make it?
The jury's still out.
Okay. Fine.
All right. So, anyway, we were talking about the scars, and then we were talking. Anyway, but getting back to the episode, like so. Dean is talking to Sam and through the Ouija board, and Dean is trying to stalk and kill this before he knows what it is, a Reaper. And yeah. They come to the conclusion after going through Dad's journal that you cannot kill a Reaper at this moment. They don't have the tools or the technology or the lore to kill a Reaper because it's never been done before, and they're pretty much invincible. And so Dean says, you know, he talks to Tess. He comes back to her after he sees the journal, and he's talking to her. He's like, you know, being in a hospital, you read the most interesting things. He's like you're a Reaper, basically. Mm-hmm. And then that's where she comes in with the whole spiel, like where she's like, well, you freaked out when you saw my form, but you either come with me or you stay here, and then you become a vengeful spirit and you become the thing that you hunt. You know, kind of thing. Kind of just basically give him the 411 on what's going on.
If you don't come with me, you're going to turn into a total bitch ghost.
Right. It may take years, may take decades, but he goes, do you think every evil spirit was born evil? No.
Yeah, right.
These are people. There's people that couldn't let go and move on. And then he's like, well, can you tell me what waits for me? She goes, I can't give away the big punchline.
Right.
And then he tries to bargain with her. Before he's bargaining with her, and he's like, you know, we're so close to killing this thing. And she goes, you're not the first warrior I plucked from the field where a victory hangs in the balance. This means everything. She goes, no, the wars will keep going on. You're just not going to be a part of it.
Right. It's like, shut up, bitch. You don't even know. We got, like, I don't know, 12 more seasons to go. Like, shut up, Tessa. What do you think you are?
You and your big, beautiful brown eyes.
Stop it. You're a
She could reap me anytime.
Oh, yeah. That's real gross, Tim.
So
your wife is going to reap you after hearing that.
Oh, whatever. She's asleep, too. Anyway, she's probably watching Grey's Anatomy on Netflix right now. So
I know. Dead Dunny.
I'm good. Yeah. Anyway, so the Reaper's explaining things to Dean, and Dean is, like, going through, like, almost the stages of grief, and then, you know, he comes to start to accept this without accepting just yet, mm-hmm. But that's when... you know, after Sam collects the materials and he confronts his father, I think, is there after or before? I'm trying to remember, saying that, you know, you're still trying to hunt the thing that, you know, while your son is dying. I think
that's when they're arguing, the glass hits the floor, and then all the Ouija and shit goes,
yes,
and then
okay.
he comes back with all the crap and is like, what do you mean? What is this for? And blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then they are, I don't know, they're always arguing about shit. Who knows? I think I'm totally wrong, but whatever. So anyways, he gets the shit, he hops out the room, somehow, you know, through the Ouija board, Sam and Dean are chit-chatting, John Winchester goes down to the basement, and then he summons the demon, and the demon's all like, what are you doing down here? And John's like, how stupid do you think I am?
I almost had you going for a minute.
Yeah. I think he said, what did he say? How stupid do you think I am? And he's like, well, what was it like? Have you looked in the mirror lately?
Something
like that.
Yeah. So. And then he clicks the Colt, and he's like, I pegged you for stupid, but not suicidal. And so he's like, well, I didn't, you know, I want to make a deal. And he goes, interesting. You know, he's like, I'll give you the Colt and the bullet. He goes, well, you're still going to have to sweeten this pot. And at that point, we don't know what sweeten the pot means. We can only assume what that means.
Right.
But we come to realize that, yes, you know, he's got to offer up his soul. And then John makes a deal with Azazel. But he wants to see, before he does anything, he wants to see Dean alive with his own eyes. And he's so sure we can make that happen. So he kind of makes amends with Dean and Sam, and he tells Dean that, you know, he loves him, and he grew up too fast, and he wished that things could have been different, and he was a stronger dad for Dean, saying, you know, basically going by stuff like when Dean was growing up, saying how Dean took care of him after he came home from a hunt, like broken and upset, and yeah. Dean was always there to, like, you know, make him a sandwich and to, like, kind of comfort him, and also taking care of Sammy. And then you know, he makes it up with Sammy too, and, you know, tells him he loves Sammy, and that, you know, could, you know, you please get me a cup of coffee. And that's basically what happens. So
and then there's that big moment when he leans in and whispers shit in Dean's ear, and it's like, what is he saying, damn it?
That's right. That's a plot point for later on in the season, but yes. And it's also made mention by Azazel, right before they make the deal, he's like, he goes, and you know the deal about Sammy, don't you? And he goes, yeah, I've known for some time. Like, all right, what the fuck is wrong with Sammy?
I know, right? Like,
So yes, he tells Dean, and Dean's like, Dean's got this, like, kind of like, huh, kind of look on his face. And,
yeah, wide-eyed dope.
Right, and then we cut to John in his own room with the Colt sitting there on, like, the table, and then we see John hit the floor, and at the same time, Sam comes in the slow motion, and what I really like is the cup of coffee. He drops the cup of coffee, and it lands straight up and just spills over just a little bit. I thought that was a really great shot. I wonder how many times I had to film that to get that just right.
I don't know. I did like that shot, too. It's like, you know, I like when they do things like that. It's such good, like, filmography, and those small things, I think, are really appreciated by people who are looking at more than just, like, the banter and, you know, dialogue between the actors and the quality of the acting.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Because there are plenty of shitty shows out there I watch and I like, but it's not like, they don't do those little things, you know? And you know, as much as I love Supernatural, it can be a little bit campy. It can have, like, you know, I don't know. It can be kind of like,
yeah.
What was that one show with the friggin' witches?
Charmed.
Charmed, right? It can get a little like Charmed every once in a while, but it still has these, like, really good moments.
Yes.
You know, like, well thought out shots, well thought out scenes. Those little things that give it, you know, that extra.
Yeah,
that adds.
But here's the thing. I think after with a show that has such longevity, because considering I don't want to talk in past tense, because right now it's currently still airing. They've still got, you know, a couple more episodes to film. But 15 years is a long time, so you're bound to have a few dud episodes here and there, or even even a half a dud season. You know, there's been, like, we're going to get to it later on, but for example, like the Leviathan. I like the idea of Leviathans. I just think that the execution of the special effects were extremely cheesy. but yeah, again, there are certain episodes that are like, what the hell were you thinking? And we kind of talked about them. And then there's other great ones where, you know, it's like, it's spot on, you know, but.
Yeah. And I mean, you can tell, like, if you are a longtime lover of the show, if you watched it multiple times, or even if you are just starting out and you want to be a hardcore watcher, like, you see how, you got to think that shit started in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And there were phones that didn't have touch screens back then. And there were, like, how we've come over the past, you know,
over a decade.
Years, yeah. Over a decade. It's like
almost two, actually.
Right. And a lot of people don't, like, have the patience for old camera work and old special effects. And because we've gotten so used to this, like, hyped up CGI and all these amazing effects now, that they don't want to go back and see that kind of, like, quote unquote lame stuff. But it is, like, one episode where Dean kind of trims forms. Mm-hmm. It's not Dean. It's what it, what's the thing that turns into Dean?
Oh, the shapeshifter?
Yeah, the shapeshifter.
Oh, no, that's still, honestly, that's still one of my,
the best episodes. Like, it's great, so good for great, that time.
Great practical effects, but still great practical effects. I mean, I just rewatched that one, and also Bloody Mary again. Yes. And I think those are great, dark, creepy episodes, atmospheric, out the window. I mean, it's just awesome. I'm like, hands down, I'm like, I will take those episodes any day over like a souped up CGI, you know, crap fest, you know.
because you can tell, like, they really had to work for that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, they really had to work. They're really like CGI is. I mean, in a like. Being a person who did photography, being in the dark room and going through the motions to make a picture, is one thing. But then being a digital photographer on the other end, going into like tweak things in Photoshop is a totally different bag. And I always felt like having that digital resource is a little bit of cheating. You know, you don't get that same kind of feeling, experience, or emotion from getting that final product.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree. But I think what this show does really good is it, for the most part, it blends practical effects with CGI. Usually minimal, except when I talked about the Leviathans. I think that's in season 6 or 7, which it's just, like I said, I like Dick Roman. I love the character of Dick Roman. I like the idea of the Leviathans. I just think whenever they go to try to bite someone's head off, it just looks super cheesy. but I digress. But getting back to...
yeah. They kind of... What is it? Are they the black thingy that, like, remind me of Venom?
Kind of, yes. Yeah. They were kind of like nothing on... they had a hard time trying to find what could kill them, and it turns out to be, like, Clorox bleach or something like that, and... Which they're not immune to, and that's what
we just call them the coronavirus. So.
yeah. So, anyway, I'm sorry. Where the hell were we in my time of dying?
I don't know. We were talking about a bunch of stuff, and then okay, so the coffee cup is where we left off.
Okay, the coffee cup. Yes.
Go on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So coffee cup.
We're getting towards the end of the episode. Dead. Yeah. Then they get to they try to revive John. He's not he's dying. We find out that Dean's lesions and all his ailments have miraculously disappeared. I mean, I know we find that out before John dies, but I'm just going back just one step. And then we see the boys give John a hunter's funeral, which means they burn his body on the top of almost like a Viking, was it, you know, fire.
When the witches get burned at the stake, except it's like a rectangle and not a stick where you stand them up on.
Right. It's almost like a coffin that they'd light on fire, made of wood. Anyway, so John's now dead.
I wanted to give him some mouth to mouth. Don't tell his wife.
Yeah. I'm sure she's heard worse.
Oh, my God. And these boys, too, probably their wives are like all these stupid bitches out there ogling their husbands. They know how lucky they are.
Yeah. And they're I think they're okay because they're all making bank. So, yeah. So
nobody's ogling my husband. That's fine. And even if they were, I'd be like, yeah, go ahead. I don't know what you could try it out, but if you're going to return it.
Do you have the receipt?
I would take it for a touch drive. I don't really care for this model. Yeah, right.
Oh, God.
Lemon law or whatever?
Yeah, the lemon law.
I said that either.
I don't know. The thing just started making noise, gassing off her.
Right.
Oh, God. Anyway, Dad's passed away, and the boys are going through this emotional upheaval. Sam E. is more is expressing his feelings more than Dean. Dean is, again, the stoic, you know, a guy. And, he's having a hard time dealing with the fact that Dad's dead and Colt's gone and they're not anywhere closer to killing Azazel than they were, you know, 3 or 4 months ago.
Right.
So
plus, and Dean's got the weight of that secret on his shoulders.
That is true too. That we won't find out for probably another, I want to say, what, 6 or 7 episodes, I think. And so anyway, this the synopsis that I read to you guys was brought to you by the fine people of Wikipedia. So I found 3 songs on TuneFind.com for this episode. Check those guys out if you want to know every single song that was played in every single episode of Supernatural. TuneFind.com. Anyway, the first one is Stranglehold by Ted Nugent. Number 2 is Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater. And number 3, The Stalker by the Space Nuggets. I have no idea what the hell that is, but
I don't know, but the two, I love the first two.
Yeah, I just like the name, the Space Nuggets. I think that's a great name for a band.
Oh my gosh. We're going to have a sidebar on Space Nuggets after we're done with this. I watch Rick and Morty because I got something to say.
No, I do not watch.
You're missing out then. You don't even know what I'm talking about.
I probably won't, but it's in my queue to watch, and someday I'll get there.
So if you guys are out there, whoever's listening, have watched Rick and Morty, and you know about the time space guys, those are Space Nuggets, for sure.
Oh, okay. A little inside joke between all y'all.
Tim doesn't get it.
There's lots of things I don't get. You know what? I'm kind of okay with it. I'm getting old and I don't really care anymore.
Oh, my God.
I've got just some fun facts. I had about 6, but we covered a couple of them already. So the first one we kind of covered with Dean saying he Swayzed that. After Ghost Dean breaks glass in his father's room, he says, "I full-on Swayzed that mother." This is a reference to the movie Ghost, in which Patrick Swayze's ghost character only manages to move something when he gets angry. Number 2, Dr. Kripke, the doctor who attends one of the Winchesters on an emergency at the hospital, is a reference to executive producer and sometimes writer Eric Kripke. He's also called to the room 237 for a cold blue. Room 237 is significant in The Shining from 1980. So you got 2 things there, Kripke and Dr. Kripke and Room 237. And that's not the first time they use a Shining reference. I think they use a Shining reference in the television episode where they're fighting the kids that are in unconscious, and there's a mention of a Room 237.
You're right.
Yes. Oh,
I know.
That's okay.
Want comes from the background. I ask my son what's going on. Is he okay? And like, what are you doing? He'll be like, pooping. That's his answer for everything. Oh. He's pooping.
Well, go get him, Tiger.
Serious business.
Number 3. This is the first episode to air after Supernatural made the switch to the newly formed CW network. The show had run on the WB for the first season. So we mentioned that. Number 4. Tess is the first Reaper seen in Supernatural in a human form. The first time a Reaper is shown is in season 1 episode named Faith. The Greek meaning of the name Tess is Reaper, so that's interesting. Number 5, In My Time of Dying is the title of a Led Zeppelin song. And finally, at 3:12, a woman calls over the PA system for a Dr. Bender to report to the mental ward. This is a funny callback to the season 1, episode 15 of The Benders. The Benders is the last name of the Hick family of a murderous cannibal nutcases who hunt humans for sport. So there you go. Those are the 6 fun facts I have for In My Time of Dying. Kate, would you like to add anything else before we move on?
No, thumbs up, dude.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say
thumbs up for sure, for sure. So for Sam and Dean, there isn't a break, but fortunately, there is a break for the Speakeasy Podcast Network. Then we'll roll that trailer for Everyone Loves a Clown for the newly formed CW. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Dave.
Okay.
What?
What do you mean, what? Why do you sound slutty?
I was trying something new. You didn't like it?
No. No, I did not. Did you think it sounded good?
And this is Dave.
Boy. All right, we're from Sequel This, a show where we attempt to write sequels to some of your favorite movies, such as Ghostbusters 3, Goonies 2, and Gremlins 3.
Well, you can check out all of our shows over at sequelthis.podbean.com. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, all the major pod places.
And if you can't find an episode that interests you, or you have a great suggestion, or a pitch yourself, we want to hear it from you. So please, email us at sequelthis@gmail.com and drop us a line.
And remember to flesh it out.
What's wrong with you?
Everything and nothing.
Tonight.
Dad's dead, and you're acting like nothing happened.
A family search for answers.
The demon said he had plans for me.
Will come with a price they never imagined.
If it's supernatural, we kill it.
Stop it! Steve!
Supernatural, all new tonight at 9, 8 central on the new CW.
Okay, well, welcome back. All right, Katie, why don't you take it away?
Okay, so it's season 2, episode 2, Everybody Loves a Clown. It is directed by Phil Segrecia and then written by John Chabon. Original air date was October 5th, 2006. After cremating their father's body, Sam and Dean refused to discuss his death. Instead, they head back to work and track an old message on John's phone to Harvell's Roadhouse, a bar frequented by hunters. There, they meet Ellen Harvell, who is played by Samantha Ferris, and an old friend of John's and her daughter, Jo, Alana Tall, and the group's resident genius, Ash, attempts to analyze John's research on Azazel with his computer. The brothers investigate the murders of visitors to a traveling carnival, currently near Medford, Wisconsin. They discover that a Rakshasa, a demon of Hindu mythology, has been taking the form of a clown and trick children into inviting it into their homes so that it can eat their parents. When not feeding, it takes the form of a blind knife thrower at the carnival. The brothers kill it with a brass pipe. Dean later takes out his anger at his father's death on the Impala, one of his most prized possessions.
Ooh.
I know, right? I was like, no, baby, not baby.
Yes, so...
How dare you?
Okay, so let me just preface, I think I've mentioned it earlier in the recording. I love the hate clowns, let's just put it that way. I don't like clowns, but they make such an evil adversary, and I really enjoyed this one. It had the perfect mixture of humor and still kind of being on that dark side a little bit. Yeah, I really liked it. How did you feel about it, Katie?
I had mixed feelings about it. I mean, I love a good creepy clown, you know. It is not lost on me by any means. In real life, like clowns at the circus, like whatever. They're just a bunch of dopes and dress-ups. But they really do sell the, like that kind of super carny, creepy thing. Because I honestly, when I go to a carnival, I have never seen a clown at a carnival. I only have seen them at the circus. So I don't know what they're doing up in Medford, Wisconsin, but their clowns are creepy as hell.
It's a dairy state.
I know, right? Maybe they're all constipated. I don't know why they look like that.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, the only clowns I've seen are in the funhouse where they're just pictures of clowns. I've never seen, like anybody walking around in clown makeup. But basically, because when I go to a carnival, it's usually during the day, and it's usually in, like, June or July. It's about 150 degrees out.
Right. Who wants to go in the funhouse anyways when it's that hot?
Yeah. So, other than that, I do like the idea of the traveling carnival and the fact that the boys... I didn't backtrack before that. I love... the Roadhouse. I love them. I love Joe and Ash and
oh my God, I love them.
I forget the older woman's name. What was her name? Oh gosh, Ellen. I loved all three of those characters, and I wish they would have used them more for the time they were on the show. I thought Ash was just awesome, and I really dug Jolin too. I mean, they were just great. But I liked that when the Impala is still at Bobby's junkyard being, you know, fixed and worked on, that they have to take a after they listen to John's the old phone message, they go out to you know, the roadhouse, but they're using like an 85 Dodge Caravan or Chrysler minivan. God, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, because honestly, when I was a teenager, I drove one of those for about 2 or 3 years, and it was awful because it's like you're a teenager. Yeah. Well, no, this was a four-cylinder. Mine was a four-cylinder 85 Dodge Caravan. That thing had a top speed of about 85 miles an hour, and when it hit 60, it started to shake.
Nice.
It was garbage, but whatever. I was wheels for a teenager. So, anywho, I digress. But I love when Dean gets out of the minivan. He's like, I feel like a freaking soccer mom.
Right. Love it.
He's like, well, this is the only car Bobby had available, so deal with it. But yeah, so they go to Ellen and Joe's roadhouse, and they break in, essentially, because they block, and they walk in, and they find Ash passed out on the pool table, and they start searching around, and they get dropped upon by Ellen and Joe.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of funny that these two big hunters are taken down by women that, you know, that you wouldn't expect it from, you know. It was cool.
What are you saying about women, huh?
I just think it was cool that they got the drop on them. These chicks were don't take no guff. Oh boy, no, don't take no guff, boy. I sound like a that doesn't sound right.
You're from Medford, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Don't you know? That's never mind. That's Minnesota. Oh, forget it. I'm tired. Okay. Anyway, moving on. So the boys are in the bar, and they just got captured by Ellen and Joe. They find out that that these are Sam and Dean, the boys of John, and and Ellen's like, well, why did John send you here? And then she realized, well, no, John didn't send them here. They're
dead
here.
Denny.
Yeah, dead Denny. Hashtag dead Denny. And so then they have to explain that, you know, he passed away, and that they just through some normal talking, they find out Ash can, you know, do some schematics of John's paperwork. And, you know, as they're sitting there talking, they notice a file, and it turns out to be the case for, you know, the clown. Yeah. So, what else you got, Katie? What else?
So, like, this episode had a lot of things in it I liked. But there still was something that bothered me in here. So, like, they started out with they actually started out with the clowns, and then they showed the boys giving John the hunter's funeral. And then you kind of find out about the voicemail, and then they run into that. I felt like there was just a little bit more going on in this episode than I would have liked to see, you know? I feel like Joe and Ellen and Ash deserved more.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that they're, I don't know, it just didn't hit me right, you know? Like, I liked the clown,
mm-hmm.
and I liked that story, but I also liked, you know, the introduction of Joe and Ellen and Ash, but I don't feel like it was done in the right way. Do you know what I'm saying?
So you felt like they needed a little more screen time and felt a little rushed?
Yeah, exactly. Like it felt like it should have been two episodes almost, because it was just so.
Yeah, there's
it wasn't smooth enough for me. Like, it really didn't flow well. Like, okay, here, we're showing up, and here's my dad's stuff, and here, you're going to figure this out, we're going to take your case, we're going to go to Wisconsin, and we're going to do this. And then it's like, I don't know, it was like very herky-jerky. Even when they were in the circus, it's like, they didn't know what the hell was going on. I felt like they were running around in circles trying to figure their shit out. And, I mean, it was funny that, like, you know, when Dean was trying to, have you seen this guy, and the blind guy,
right.
You know, like,
yeah.
What are you trying to say?
Right.
And then the
small person walks in. He's like, I just need a little help. What do you mean little?
There's been a little misunderstanding.
Yes. There you go.
How about you?
I like the way they cut away to Sam. And Sam is just laughing his ass off. Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot about this episode I really liked. I just felt like it could have been... something was just missing from it for me. So I'm not going to say like this episode totally blew or anything. There's just like, I don't know. I didn't feel like it was very fluid. I don't know. But I did like, so I'm going to tell you before we started recording, I was telling you about how I watched this with my family and my husband was like, he recited a couple of lines, and he's like, oh, that's how many times I've seen this episode. So one of the things was I was sitting, and I totally forgot about it, but Sam was kind of staring at, like, a short person in the episode.
Okay.
And then she's walking by, and he's giving her the eye, and she's giving him the eye. And then Dean kind of comes up with this, like, you know, turned up lip a little bit and kind of snarky looking. And then my husband goes, what? Did you get her number? And that's exactly what you... I'm like, oh my god. So he was right on point with it. But it was funny, and I started like giggling like an idiot because, you know, it was a good line. I really thought that was good.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. No, I thought that was funny too. Well, Dean is always the king of the one-liners. But but getting back to like how you said you felt that was a little rushed and a little, you know, not as smooth. Because, yeah, they try to unpack a lot within the first 5 minutes. You got them trying to have a heart to heart with Dean in the junkyard about how they're dealing with their feelings, and Dean's like, if someone asks me more about my feelings, I'm just going to start throwing punches or whatever it is. He goes, I'm dealing with that. Are you kind of thing? And
it was like junkyard, circus, roadhouse, circus, angry feelings. You know, it was just, was like too much, I feel.
Yeah.
And then they go back to the junkyard, and then he's beating on baby. And it's like, what are you doing? What's going on? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of unresolved issues with the boys right now, dealing with their dad's untimely death. And
maybe that is supposed to play to the episode on the way it's done. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, so basically, Sam and Dean take the case. They go to a Barker's Carnival, whatever I think it is, a traveling carnival, and they go for a job interview basically. And the guy's asking like, "Why do you want this job?" And the boys try to BS their way in, and they get called out on their stuff immediately, saying, "No, you guys have never worked the circuit ever in your lives. Why do you want this? Go be normal and have a normal 2.5 kids. You know, be normal, have a normal life. This isn't for you." And then Sam's like, "We don't want normal. We want this."
Yeah, right.
So we want to go pick up garbage around at a carnival.
Oh yeah.
So then they're out there with their EMF devices, you know, trying to find like a haunted object maybe, because they they didn't know if this was what do you call it, a Rosh Hashanah or the
That sounds like somebody's name.
Yeah.
Oh, you're like the holiday Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
That's not it.
Yeah, no, but the Rakshasa. Yeah. Anyway, so. So they're like, well, it could be a cursed object. It goes from town to town. And so they're out there with the EMF, and it's like, oh, this is like trying to find a needle in a stack of needles.
Right.
They're never going to hit upon it. But as they're doing as they're sweeping the fairgrounds, another little girl sees a clown, and that immediately stops the boys in their tracks. But when the girl points, the clown has disappeared. So the boys stake out the house where they kind of follow the family home, and they try to get the drop on the clown because the girl invites the clown in, and then the guys go in there guns blazing, and Sam and Dean save the family, only they don't know, they just think they're breaking in, and Dean shoots clown. He hits like solid mass, but then it gets up and then goes through a glass door and then goes completely and then disappears completely into the thin air. So
you, before that started though, you missed a piece.
Oh.
So while the boys are doing their like EMF search,
mm-hmm.
They're talking on the cell or whatever they're talking on, and the blind guy comes up to him. What are you talking about, skeletons and
ghosts?
What's EMF and all this stuff? And you know, Dean tries to cover his ass by saying, "Oh, me and my brother are writing a book." So you know, they don't know what's going on with this guy, mm-hmm. and this guy is kind of playing,
yeah,
like trying to figure them out, like
right.
what really is going on here. But you know, you don't really don't know what's happening until you get towards the end of the episode,
right?
But yeah, back to like, and that's when you know they go stake out this kid's house, and
yeah, so they save the kid, save the folks this time around, because in the previous one, a little boy invites the clown in, and oh yeah, getting back to kind of the beginning of the episode. Sorry, we're bouncing back and forth. I'm bouncing back and forth, but the great scene where they're walking through this fun house, and the dad is like trying to get his son interested. He goes, "Look, when I was a kid, this used to scare the crap out of me. Look at this." And the kid's just playing his video game, and the dad is so enamored with this, trying to get his son to pay attention, and he's looking at the skeleton. He's looking at some other stuff, and the kid looks up, and there's a clown waving. He's like, "Daddy, that's a clown. I saw a clown." And he's like nervous. He's like, "Oh, buddy, you don't need to be scared. Clowns are your friends." Like, oh, fuck! You just signed your death warrant.
Right? Yeah. So of course the guy wakes up, and there's a clown waiting for him, murdered in his bed.
Yeah. Chuckles O'Houlihan, the clown, kills him.
Right.
Chuckle. And yeah, so there you go. And then but the boys save the next family, and the girl says, "You shot my clown." And they have to ditch the minivan, ditch the plates, and now they're walking back to the Bunker Brothers, I believe it is, right? The carnival, traveling carnival circus.
Right? Yeah.
So Sam and Dean split up. One goes to find out this, to check out the manager or the owner. And they remember that the owner looks a lot like his grandfather did back in the day, thinking maybe that it was really him, like he's the evil entity. And it turns out that no, he's not. And it turns out that the blind throwing knife guy.
After they go.
And Dean goes to like look for a brass. That's what they found out. They found that brass kills this thing, or it's susceptible. You know, you can kill it with brass. Not susceptible. You can kill it with brass, but that's the only thing you can kill it with. And
yeah, courtesy of Ellen.
You're right. Correct. Sam goes to check out the owner's office because I think they have to sleep on a bay of like rotting like leaves
insects.
or insects. Something like that.
Yeah.
So he goes and he cuts open the mattress, and it's clear. While Dean is trying to find something brass, like brass knives or brass metal, whatever, it's to kill this thing. He walks. He finds. Walks into the blind man's area.
His tent home.
His tent home, and he starts rifling through the trunks, and he sees the clown get up. And then the guy shows up and takes off his glasses and says, "You looking for me?" And he does, and they do the whole like little weird smile thing, and we find out that the blind man is actually the evil entity, and he disappears, and how they get into the funhouse again? I forget how they got there.
Okay, so they're like, so after the guy like disappears and knives go flying at Dean, and he's kind of like all over the place. He jumps out of the thing and he's running. He bumps into Sam. Sam's like, "I didn't find anything. He just thought I was a peeping Tom." And kind of, he's like, "Let's go to the funhouse. I got an idea." So they get up in the funhouse. Then they're separated. And then Sammy's trying to pull the brass pipes from the organ that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dean's trying to figure out where the guy is and what's going on. And then there's, of course there's more knives being thrown through the air, and Sammy's like, "I can't see him."
Right.
And so then that's when you see Dean grab the thing that controls the steam for the organ.
Conveniently.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh my God. So, totally cleanly, please. Yeah, yeah. That was a bit,
I feel like it's the Staples Easy button. Ooh, that was easy.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It was so easy, just like your mom.
What about my mom?
She's great. She's really great, actually.
Didn't we pin her to the ceiling and light her on fire?
Yeah, that's the
ticket. Yeah, okay, go on. Yeah,
so, the super cheesy thing, they grab the handle, turn the steam on, they see the fucking guy, and then Sammy, runs him through with this brass organ pipe. So I can't imagine how easy that was.
Yeah.
But they made it look easy. I don't know how pokey those pipes are, but whatever.
Yeah.
So then, of course they kill the clown creeper and...
And all is right for at least another week.
I know, right? Oh, and then they head back. What do? They head back to the roadhouse to see Ellen, Joe, and Ash.
Right.
And then Ash has got all the data, and he's like, where have you been? Like, I'm done with my stuff.
Yeah, well, because...
And then the boys are like, we were on a job, jackass. Right. Kind of that kind of answer.
Right. Well, yeah, what I love about Ash is when they were talking to him, he's going through the dad's old files. He's like... He goes, no one could trick a demon like this. He goes, our dad could. He's like, well, he's looking at the file, and he's like, give me 52 hours.
No, 51. It was 51 hours.
51 hours. I was like, okay.
Yeah, 51 hours. He calculated that. He looked up in the air, and he's thinking, he's like, 51 hours. Yeah. Like, oh, my God. And then they get back, and he's explaining all that shit to him, and he's like, where did you go to school? And he's like... Oh, I went to MIT, and then I got kicked out for this, that, and the other thing. And then he's
for
like,
fighting. He got kicked out for fighting.
Oh, okay, right. And then he's like, MIT.
It's a school in Boston.
I know, right. That was the best. I'm like, well, Sam was going to be a lawyer or some shit, too, right?
Yeah.
Stanford or whatever. I was, oh, my God. It was just like, duh.
Hey, I dig your hair. Yeah, man. Party up front. Or no, business in the front, party in the back.
Exactly. Ash does show up a little bit later in a couple other episodes, and he is probably one of my favorite, small characters, and Joe and Ellen come back, of course, but yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, when this episode first premiered, I liked it so much. I was like, boy, this would be a really great spin-off series for them. They have a place where a bar where hunters come, and the stories could be great. I mean, it would be awesome.
Yeah, it would have been a really good. That is an excellent idea. But I would have never thought of that myself. But now that you mention it, it would. That would have been a really interesting way to take this cool thing and then run with it.
Cheers versus monster hunting.
Yeah.
Right? Norm.
Exactly. Oh, you should pitch it.
Yeah, it's a little bit too late for that, considering they...
Oh, they could do... they could do, like, that whatchamacallit with, did Breaking Bad, and then they ran it backwards, and...
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you could
Better Call Saul, and all that other kind of
crap. Yeah, I guess you could... Yeah, you could do a prequel to that. Maybe we'd see when he was younger. Going to the roadhouse. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, they're going to have to put a lot of makeup because Negan has worn his face out.
Well, you probably have to have different characters. I mean, even the ones that they got to play the younger character versions of John are now older now, too. So, yeah. So, anyway, I digress. So they're back at the bar, and Joe is and Dean have this sexual chemistry going, but it's like it's the wrong place and wrong time kind of thing, and she's like tells him you wouldn't believe all the hunters that come in here that think they can get me with a six pack of pizza and side the second side of Led Zeppelin's blah 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 album, and he's like, oh yeah, that totally wouldn't work.
Those scumbags.
Exactly,
he's totally one of those scumbags, because he says at the end on the other when they're doing their goodbyes and stuff, he's like, I'd be hitting on you so fast, it'd make your head spin.
Right. But now I can't figure out how they left that episode. Like, did they? Because they left the bar, but they didn't have a car. I don't remember how they got back to...
I don't think that was really explained.
Yeah, because they ditched the van and walked to the Bunker Brothers. After they killed the... Or after they... With the Bunker Brothers stuff, they just kind of, like, appeared at the bar and then walked out of the bar, but...
But then they're right back at, you know, Bobby's.
Yes. Did they take an Uber? How far away from Ellen's?
Isn't Bobby in, like, North Carolina or something like that?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't think they ever really... Did they ever really say? Because I always think that... I always thought about it would be, like, from in Kansas, but it wouldn't be Kansas, though.
Yeah, because I don't know.
Because you're getting farther and farther away when you go to, if you're going back to Kansas.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know, right? Wait. What's Bobby's last name?
Singer.
Singer, that's right. Bobby Singer. Hold on a second.
I'm doing a quick Google search.
South Dakota.
South Dakota. Okay, what?
So South Dakota. That's not real close.
Yeah.
I mean, so I did say South Carolina, but I was right about the South thing.
Yeah.
So as far as being close to, like,
Wisconsin,
I don't know how. Let's see, South Dakota.
You can break out your Google Maps.
Like, are you kidding? Like, I'm on top of this right now.
Good. I'll just vamp while you do that. La, la, yeah. Da, 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 da.
So, okay. So from, like I would say a midpoint in Wisconsin to midpoint in South Dakota is 9 hours and 20 minutes. And if you were walking, which the Google Maps will tell you, it would take 8 days. So I don't know if Bobby had a bus to move and go pick their asses up. But yeah. So, cause you actually had to go through Minnesota, yeah, right, to get to South Dakota, so they could stop and say hey to Tim,
yeah.
And then head on over to Bobby's. So
yeah, so I'm assuming they probably took a bus.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not explained. Yeah. Flat hole.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to need to hear the director's commentary on how they figured that one out.
Right.
But yeah, because like you said, the next scene is, you know, they're back at Bobby's and Dean's working on the car, and that's when Sam, you know, brings up the question again, how are you doing? And he flips out and he just beats the shit out of the Impala. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, there was no coffee cup scene there. Like, it just was like... We're walking out the door. Oh, we're in the junkyard. So,
yeah.
Whatever, they got where they were supposed to be. See, I mean, and that's another thing that felt like you could have had a discussion in a car. You could have, you know, like, it could have been, like, another episode.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Or at least a half episode. No, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it was too much in one episode. I felt like if you were going to make two episodes out of it, you could have developed those characters a little bit more, pulled at our as a viewer heartstrings a little bit more with, you know, the speculation of how was Dad involved with Ellen, like what was going on there, a little bit more, you know, little bit more developed there. And still gotten, you know, your creepy clown stuff and figured out, like, there's so many different things that they could have done with that and like, maybe drawing it out into, like, a two-part or whatever, but...
Right.
I don't know if it would have... For me, it could work, but it also could have made other people, like, really, like, really, did you need two episodes of this?
Right. Well, yeah, that's what you kind of run into. It's like you don't want to overcorrect something, and then like, okay, now we really need to edit this down.
Right. But, because they happen.
Right.
So.
Right. And the thing is, they also make mention that John had a falling out. Well, I guess John has a falling out with like everyone he's ever known because.
Right.
And it turns out that Ellen mentions her to Joe, or Joe mentions, or Ellen tells Joe that John got their father killed because of you know, something went wrong. So that doesn't help. And like that, I thought deserved a little bit more attention too, because I'm like, that's you know, if you're introducing these new characters and there's some turmoil between, you know, Ellen and John, and but although apparently it's been kind of like water under the bridge a little bit because she
keeps calling him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again.
Well, and so, okay, so now that you've said that, my thinking is that if they had, they kind of like, the first episode of season two was such like, there was like, it was very like, high emotion, a lot going on. They could have done like a lower, like a low key episode where you, okay, get the voicemail, they burn dad's body, they figure out these things, they meet these characters, and then as you're going through, like kind of at towards the end, introduce whole clown thing. You know, while you're, okay, you're at Bobby's, you're feeling about dad, you're talking about the car, you could have had some really good car moments, like traveling back and forth, and like, develop those characters and found out about those relationships, and then, like, at the end, it's okay, well, here's, like, this file, you know, that we see, and then in the next episode, you could have had this whole clown bullshit thing going on, and then resolve that, like, episode with, you know, Ash saying, hey, this is all the stuff I found, and if anything hits, I'm going to know about it, and we'll let you know right away. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, like,
I mean, what would have been a slow episode like that.
What you just described is like about four episodes worth of stuff. Maybe three. But yeah, no, I get it. Oh, gosh. Yeah, there's just... there's so much stuff that goes on, and you know, and like, we're getting back to where Dean is just beating the ever living shit out of the whatever's left the baby. But my major sticking point is the next episode that comes up. I'll mention it now, and I'll mention it when we do our next episode. But it was, I believe, Bloodlust. Where have you recently watched Bloodlust at all? I mean, I'm not going to put you on a spot. I don't mean to put you on a spot.
No, like maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so basically, what we got, what really kind of grinded my gears a little bit.
Okay, Peter.
Yeah, what grinds my gears? No, is that they automatically are in the car, drive, flying down the road. I'm like, wait a minute. Last week, that car was a big old pile of shit. I'm like, literally, there was no tires, there was nothing, and then all of a sudden, now baby's back to mint. In a week.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it's not like, it's like, well, I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. I go back, and I'm trying to watch it, like, maybe a couple months. But even a couple months, that car would not be up to snuff yet. I mean, literally, the way that car was totally destroyed and pretty much lit on fire and exploded, it would take a year or more to get that, you know. I'm like, so.
That's what I'm talking about, Tim.
So, look, I get it. Okay, I can deal with monsters, demon, heaven and hell, angels, you know, shapeshifters, but fuck, that car was destroyed.
Yeah, there's no easy button for that.
Yeah, yeah.
You pull the handle for the steam, okay, that's one thing, but then all of a sudden, like, you know, snap of the fingers and baby's done. Like, okay, don't even, like, if that's going to, things going to happen, you know, that's a Cass episode.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Did Cassiel work his angel magic and, you know.
I'm in your brain.
Yes. You know, Scooby-Doo that motherfucker?
That's right.
Diddle-oo, diddle-oo, diddle-oo. No.
Oh, God, that's Wayne and Garth.
Yeah, God. Yeah, but anyway. But that, I'll bring that up again when we do Bloodlust. That was only, that's what just kind of like, oh, come on, guys, seriously? This thing didn't even have an engine in it.
Like, what, like, let us know, like, how much time has passed. Like, show some indication,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and their scars are gone by that episode.
Yeah.
Completely healed.
Right, so, like, that is the kind of thing that I, like, why wouldn't you save that for, like, the holiday break? You know how they all take a break over the holidays, and then you don't get back until whatever. Like, that is, I think, would have been more appropriate at a different
I could even say, like, yeah, just have it out 3 months later. You know, just a little, even just in text, just 3 months later on the road, boom.
Something.
That's it. But yet, it gives you some sort of time, like, well, okay. Sometimes
we've been talking about it in the car. Oh my God, can you believe how long that car took us? How long it took baby to get back in shape? You know, like something.
Right.
I don't know. Look at us nitpicking. Like,
old. Again, it's not. That's not really a nitpick. That's something that needs to be said. Like,
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not talking about, oh, that guy's hairstyle differs from one thing, or he's wearing the wrong belt with the wrong shoes. I'm like, that's nitpicky. We're talking about a car. We're talking about basically the third or fourth character of the show.
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, they kill the clown. They're back at Bobby's. They fix the car. He's working on the car. Dean is having a mental breakdown, and they just kind of roll credits.
too much in one episode.
Yeah,
so, I liked it.
Yeah, I do too.
I liked it, but
I still give it a thumbs up, even with the little, like you mentioned, the herky jerky things and things feeling a little bit rushed. And I still enjoy it.
Definitely, it was. I mean, I like all of the elements. Did I like them all together like they were? Not really, but I can still respect the episode and the quality of the pieces that they had. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I totally get it.
You feel me?
So Katie and I both give Everyone Loves a Clown 2 thumbs, even though the minor complaints and nitpicks that, you know, that Katie has said that we're nitpicking.
It's Katie. It's all Katie.
It's all Katie. It's all Katie. Send your email. There you go. Send your email.
You know what, bitch? Shut up.
No, jerk. Anyway.
Fuck a dick.
No, thank you. I'm trying to cut down. So, all right, with that, we got...
All right, TuneFind us already. Tell us this stuff.
All right, so TuneFind gives us three songs for this episode. The Time Has Come by the Chamberlain Brothers and Shambalama by Three Dog Night.
Yes.
And then Do That to Me One More Time by Captain and Tennille. So those are the three songs for this episode. For this episode, we also have five fun facts. The first one is this episode ends with In Memory of Our Friend Peter Ellis, who directed two episodes in Season 1, Bloody Mary and The Benders, which happened to be one of my two favorite episodes of Season 1. So rest in peace, Peter. Number two, this is the series debut of Ash, Ellen Harvell, and Joe Harvell, which we talked about at least five, six times. Number three, the second house the killer clown visits is the exact same house that was used in the hit TV series Step by Step, starring Duffy and Suzanne Summers.
Nice.
I had no fucking idea what that was. I mean, I know the show. I didn't recognize it, I guess. So, number four, Everyone Loves a Clown is a classic rock song by Gary Lewis and the Playboys that was released in 1965. And finally, the first item to be seen in the Haunted Funhouse is a yellow-eyed demon / ghost, a nod to Azazel. So, those are your four or five fun facts for Everyone Loves a Clown. So, I really don't have too much else to say. Katie, do you have anything else you'd like to add before we get out of here?
We really covered it all. I think we just, you know, because we both didn't shut up the whole time.
All right. Well, that does it for us tonight. So tune in our next episode where we'll be discussing Episode 3, Bloodlust, and Episode 4, Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. So, again, everyone, stay safe during this quarantine, and be good to each other.
Ditto.
All right. So for Katie, I'm Tim Kazza. Thank you for choosing to listen to Men of Letters, a Supernatural Retrospective Podcast. Thank you. Good night.
Night.
Thanks for tuning in to Men of Letters over at the Speakeasy Podcast Network, where talk is cheap and so are we. You can follow the Speakeasy Podcast Network over on the Facebook. Just type in the Speakeasy Podcast Network in the search bar and we'll pop right up. Be sure to like the page to keep up with all the great shows that are on the Speakeasy Podcast Network. Also, if you would like to reach out and contact MOL, you can drop us a line over at our official email address at menoflettersupernatural@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Also, the Speakeasy Podcast Network is on the Twitter machine over at the Speakeasy One. So be sure to check out the Speakeasy Podcast Network on Twitter. Thank you and have a great night.
Thank you for listening to Men of Letters.